who's ready for fall? A few people? What are some of the reasons you're ready for fall?
Football season.
Yeah, we didn't need your answer. We already could see that. Pretty leaves. Ah, see. I'm sure more people can identify with that one. No, I'm just kidding. What are some other fall foliage? You can wear hoodies, layers. Yeah. No one can stop me from wearing hats. Hey. I have to admit, I miss the extra sunshine. Like this morning, you know, at summertime, we'd have sun kind of shining through here, and it kind of does something, doesn't it? Get all excited. But if you need other ways to get excited, look out in the field. You'll see some deer. Or just enjoy the presence of the Lord. It's right in here. It's happening. I'm going to do something a little different. We're going to have this up here while I preach, and we're going to end our time with communion. We'll see how that goes. Sound good? Okay, it's in. All right. Adam, are you ready to get the PowerPoint started for me, bud? Hey, it's real quick, just I don't know if it's really a housekeeping thing, but our sermons haven't been online for a couple weeks. One of those weeks, it was because we didn't record it, because we were out in the pavilion. And last week, we did record it, but we didn't get to post it. And we're going to just have it posted on our Facebook right now. So watch for that. It's been all prepared. I just didn't get it up. Oh, you want some kids? Yeah, I forgot to dismiss the kids. Kindergarten through third grade. Harrison, I'm surprised you weren't waving at me. It's time to release you. Let's pray for our kids and our teachers. Father, we thank you for the kids. We thank you for the things you're pouring into them. As we're looking at the story of Joseph and faith, go with them. Father, bless them. Bless the teachers. Bless their time. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, you're listening to me be silly. See, we do that a little bit. A little bit. Awesome. Yeah, so we started a series. Oh, so watch for our Facebook for a link to watch or to listen to our sermons. We started a series a couple weeks ago answering the question, am I free? Am I free to receive the love of the Father? Am I free to love yourself? Wait, what did I just say? Love yourself? I did. It's the second greatest commandment. Help me out. Help me out. This is the third week on it. This is easy. Love your neighbor, period. As yourself. You need to know how to love yourself. And this is, I heard a good definition of how you know, is this self-serving or is it as kingdom? If the way you love yourself only benefits you, you got it wrong. If the way you love yourself benefits all those around you, you love yourself like Christ loves you. That's good, isn't it? I mean, because we know how he loved us, don't we? How did he love us? Oh, tough crowd today, guys. Help me. Yeah, he did. He gave his son for us. Gave his life for us. So, can you love yourself? Yes. Are you free to walk in relationship with the Father? Or do things like shame, guilt, actual places in your life that you just hold on to yourself, do those interrupt? Do those get in the way? Are those blockages? Are you free to walk in the plans and the purposes? Jeremiah 29:11. What does it say? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. That's for all of us. So what's holding you back? Is it shame? Is it fear? Is it the comfort with the place where you are right now? You know, That's a really easy place to get to. Just take a house, for instance. We get in it and we begin to make it our house, don't we? We get the TV in the right place for when we want to spend time doing that. We get the seating areas just right so that when people come over, we have face-to-face conversation. We get it the way we like it. But then somebody comes over and they're like, well, I can't really hear your TV from this spot. What's wrong with you? Or they come over and they're like, well, I got too much sun on the back of my neck when I sit around your table. This doesn't really... This is perfect, just the way it is. What do you... You know, if you moved your dining room table about 10 feet off to the right, everybody could sit here. They wouldn't have sun. You know, they wouldn't get a sunburn while they're sitting at your table. We don't want to hear that. This is my house. What's wrong with you? You don't come to my house and tell me what would be better for when you visit. But... sometimes they're right, aren't they? That's been hard. Like, I've had people come over to my house, and they have a good recommendation. It's like, well, you know, I don't do that because, and my answer's not that great. You know, it's not till later when I complain to my wife or say, can you believe this recommendation? She's like, oh, yeah, I see that. And then my thick skull gets thinner. Like, well, if I stand from this perspective, if I think longer term, yeah, okay. So anyway, sometimes we're not free because we've boxed in what it should be because that's been what's comfortable. That's been what we've known. You know what I need to do? There we go. I need to walk around with this thing so it doesn't keep shutting off. So I propose there's three areas that if we walk in the truth of those areas, we walk in freedom. I propose that if we know our identity in Christ, if we know who we are in Christ, we're going to walk towards freedom. Last week we looked at mindsets. If we get rid of broken mindsets, if we have right mindsets, kingdom mindsets, things that line up with the Word of God, guess what? We're going to walk in freedom. And finally, this week, if we understand the power of the cross, and I put the word full in there, because I don't think we always walk in the fullness of the power of the cross. I think we grab hold of part of it, and we do pretty good, but we're missing some. And I hesitate to use the word like full or more because it insinuates like you've been doing things lesser or you're broken, you're the way you look at it is broken. But I just believe sometimes we just need a bigger perspective. Here's the thing about these three areas. We can know them here. But if we don't get them here, we're not going to walk free. We're not going to walk in freedom. We are created to know our Creator in relationship, not know our Creator in just our mind. That might be what draws us to the connection. But we can't stop at just understanding here, but we have to get it here. I'm actually... pretty excited about today and talking about the power of the cross because, see, I'm that guy that when I realize there's more potential for a group, there's more potential for an individual, I get excited. I don't see the opportunity for more as a failure. I see the opportunity as more as an exciting thing. I get excited for you. I get excited for me when I see, hey, there's more. One of my core values is to always be growing. And I try, actually last week was kind of fun. I got to know a little bit more about tractors, just a little bit more about The art of bushhogging. The art of smelling when something doesn't smell right. And recognizing what's going on. Like, but you know what? I had somebody I could call. They probably got 5 phone calls that day. Okay, so how about this part? What's going on here? I can't get it started. What do I do now? I parked it in the field because there's steam going everywhere. Did I blow it up? No. Sounds like the fan belt. And, you know, it probably overheated. Not a big deal. Let it sit. Let it cool off. We can park it out of the field later. Always growing. It would have been real easy to, like, get on Google. Nah, that still can be learning, too. Would have been easy to get discouraged and just said, forget it. Somebody else can deal with that. Right? Always growing. So when I came to this today, like the power of the cross, walking in the fullness of that, I get excited because honestly, I watch the church just walk in parts of this. I watch the church walk in the part that says saved. He came to save us, right? John 3:16 and 17. Here we go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only, he only had one son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Do you know that word, when it's translated, came through saved? But it actually has three English meanings. One of them is saved. And we get that one. And I think a lot of people walk in that one. Saved. Justification. The price was paid. Prepared relationship with the Father. Now I get to heaven. And it's simply I get to heaven card. And then we miss our whole purpose of why we're still here on earth. Because there's more. Saved, healed, which is returned to wholeness. And delivered. Those are the other three words encompassed in that word saved, sozo. So we're saved from our sin, which is justification. He wants to restore us to our purpose or our design, sanctification. And finally, he delivered us from our sin and brokenness. Our sin has caused. He forgave us. So jump with me. We're going to look at these three words. We're going to look a little bit at justification. We're going to look a little bit at sanctification. We're going to look a little bit at forgiveness. Because these are all things that were released because of the work that was done at the cross. And then we're going to take some time to remember that and apply that into our life as we take communion together. Sound good? Does anyone need to get up and stretch? I got a few more notes. Okay. Well, if you need to, get up and do it. And I'll just think, hey, look, they got the Holy Spirit. They're agreeing with it. All right. Galatians 2:15 through 21. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Jesus Christ in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. But if our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. God is the propitiation. Jesus is the propitiation for our sin. Justification means right standing. The price was paid. See, there was nobody else that could come and pay that price. Jesus had to come as a man. He had to take on a human body. As man and as God. In right standing. And not just walk on the earth and show us some cool different things and miracles and this is how to live and this is. But he also had an assignment to pay that price. The price goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve were in right standing with God, in relationship with God. And we're going to get into that in just a minute with sanctification. But their decision to sin broke that relationship. And now, each generation that's being born, there's nobody that's able to pay the price. And then came Jesus. And he paid that price for us. But here's the thing. Some of us live like we still have to pay that price. But let me tell you. You weren't created to pay that price. There was only one that could do that. Well, Pastor, what do you mean we still make ourselves pay that price? Do you live in shame? Do you walk around saying, I'm not worthy? I'm unable? Do you torture yourself because of past decisions? Because of broken decisions that you've made? Because of poor choices that you made? Oh, I'm so unworthy. Oh, woe is me. Like, oh, all these bad things are happening to me. I deserve it. The price was already paid for those things. There may be some process that you still need to walk through so that stuff gets out because it was allowed in. But the price for it was paid already. So quit trying to pay the price for it. Quit walking like you have you will never come up with enough to pay that price. You can't do it by works. You do it as you walk in relationship. The price was paid. Step into relationship with the Father and walk forward. I know when I'm preaching because my iPad turns off. Because I don't get to check in on, like, okay, anyway. So just bear with me. Some of us are still trying to punish sin in other people. Some of us are still trying to punish sin in ourselves. What are you talking about? I'm talking about getting payment for something that was already paid. Oh, well, that person did this. Okay, yep, they're going to pay. No, that was already paid for. So stop trying to make them pay. Well, they've got to do. Are we trying to make them pay for something that was already paid for? Or are we more concerned with their heart being connected with the heart of the Father? I'm more concerned with the heart being connected to the heart of the Father. And you know what? The fact is, the thing that's hanging out there can't be connected to the heart of the Father. Darkness can't reside with light. If the heart and the relationship with the Father is growing, guess what? That thing that we like, oh, no, there needs to be some punishment for that. It was paid for. Now, I'm not taking away consequences. Sorry, kids. You don't get to say, hey, Dad, Pastor said it's already paid for. You're right, that sin was paid for, but sometimes there's consequences to those. Right? Yeah, absolutely. You make a mess, you get to clean the mess. Sh- Shame is the word that's hanging out today, so we're going to keep going with it. Some of us walk in shame. We're just so discouraged about decisions we've made in the past. Maybe we're embarrassed by those decisions. Maybe we're embarrassed by how other people feel about those decisions that were made. But the fact of the matter is, the price was paid already. So stop walking like that's who you are. You're a new creation. You were bought and paid for. Come on. And so when you choose to walk in shame, you choose to say, this thing is more powerful than the cross and the work that was done on the cross. Do you really believe that? I don't think so. But you know what? A lot of us walk around like that is what we believe. Because we hold on to our shame. We let this stench of shame be what's glorified. Remember last week we talked about the thing you declare, the thing you speak is the thing that comes to life. So we hold on to that thing and we say, this is who we are. I deserve this. Instead of saying, I am a new creation. I am bought and paid for. I am a son and daughter. Instead of declaring the promises and beginning to walk in what's already been paid for, we hold on to this other thing. And it might not be shame. It might be some other area. But is it really more powerful than the cross? No. No, 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 no. We've just made it more powerful than the cross. You have the opportunity to do that. You can make it more powerful than the cross. Pastor, how can you say that? Because it's your choice. Focus on that thing. It'll be more powerful than the cross in your life. Like what manifests out of you won't be the cross, won't be Christ. It'll be that stuff. So what's more powerful in your life? But that's not how it has to be. So walk in the fullness of that. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Hey, if you're in Christ in here today, say, I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
And maybe some of you need to say, I need to become a new creation. Maybe some of you, your heart's getting poked out a little bit where you're saying, wait, all this stuff I've been walking around from bad decisions and poor choices, that doesn't have to define who I am. That doesn't have to define my life. I might be interested in that. I can tell you the Lord's interested in you. He's interested in relationship with you. He's interested in calling you son and daughter, in calling you a new creation. He says, old things have passed away. Behold, the new has come. When we step into relationship with Jesus Christ, the new has come. Why? Because the price has been paid. I think sometimes we get the words justification and sanctification mixed up. And so we're trying to sanctify ourselves when he's already put us in right standing. And let me tell you something. You don't get to sanctify yourself. You get to allow the process of sanctification to happen in your heart. What is sanctification, PJ? I have a brief definition. The state of proper functioning. To sanctify someone or something is to set that person or thing apart for the use intended by its designer. So if I grab a pen, oh, you're all digital. I need a pen. If I grab a pen and I take this thing and I wrap his knuckles, guess what? This thing's not sanctified. It's not working in its what its intent or what it was formed for. But if I come over here to Judah and I write on his arm, hi, guess what? The pen's been sanctified. It was used as it was designed. What have we been designed for? We can go back to the garden for this. Can't we? What were we designed for? We are designed for relationship. You know, how many species are in this world? I don't know. I think we're still discovering some, right, in the oceans. Bigfoot's already been named. We've got pictures. So we'll keep moving. If you want to talk about Bigfoot later, talk to Dakota, because I have nothing. He's the one that's studying science in school. But here's the thing. We have how many spiders? We have how many different species of... I mean, so Adam was charged with naming each one of those. Who taught Adam how to name those things? It doesn't tell us. How long did it take? Doesn't tell us. But who taught Adam how to rule on this earth like he was intended? I propose God did. Well, maybe the angels did. Oh, well, who created them? Okay, I rest my case. So he taught him how to rule on this place, earth, that he created. What happens when you partner with somebody in something? Business relationship. What happens when you're partnering with somebody doing something? What grows? Yeah. What kind of relationship was growing when Adam's coming, like, thing's really tall. I think I'm going to call it a rhinoceros. And the Lord's like, well, you know, the neck's pretty long. Have you thought about the, you know, the giraffe? Long-necked one? I'm just making stuff up. But like, right? I don't know. I wasn't there. This is kind of fun to think about, though, isn't it? But we've watched the Lord continue to teach us through the rest of the Bible his principles. Who taught him to Adam? Do you think he just said, I don't know. But he's pretty relational. So we'll just leave it there. Then he said, you know what, it's not good for Adam to be alone in all of this. This is a big thing. Look at this world. By the way, he thought it was pretty good too. He said he needs a helper. So here comes Eve out of Adam. And he has a wife. And then they're given more instruction. Be fruitful and multiply. She came as a helper to Adam, which meant she now took on the same assignments as Adam. Did those always look the same? I don't know. I wasn't there. And then be fruitful and multiply. So here's some of our assignment, right? Relationship, ruling and reigning. Like, we have assignment on this earth. We don't just get to come and hang out and have fun and move on. He placed us here for an assignment, a holy assignment. So, what has to happen for us to return to our intent, to walk in our intent? Well, our old nature, other things, those things have to be pushed out because they will come in and steal that fruit. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We have an assignment, not just for ourselves, but to release on this earth. And you know, the Lord's been, that there's been a theme in this today. There's been a call to partnership with him. We have to step into that. And as I said before, light can't hang out with darkness. Darkness has to go when there's light. So if we're walking in relationship with the Father, I can tell you right now, there is a sanctification process happening in your life. You know, in the power of the Holy Spirit, that thing where he's like, that area, that's in the way. That thing is detracting from what I'm wanting to do. Then we have an opportunity to respond to that. And as we respond, you know, some of us get really frustrated. Like, we get excited for the things of the Lord. We're going after the things of the Lord. And then something from our old nature, something that had a root in our life, grabs hold of us. Not really. We just allow it to grab hold. Like, we just allow it permission. And it feels like we got knocked back 10 steps. Like, hold on. I thought you paid this price already. The price has been paid, but we haven't allowed the working in our hearts where that thing can't have a root, that thing can't have a place. So we continue to allow the work of the Lord in our life. All right, give me a second because I'm getting way off my notes. Sometimes we do try to create our sanctification process. Like, things are broken, things aren't going right. Oh, this is just part of the Lord shaping and molding me. Well, he can work all things good, all things for good for those who are faithful and just. Those who are called according to his purposes. Thank you. That wasn't in my notes, so thanks, Ed. But does that mean he makes those things happen? No. I think sometimes we grab hold of all these things, and if there's more gloom and doom and dread and all those things going on, we feel like, oh, I'm walking the good Christian life. Doesn't it? Yeah. Come join this. This will be great. We may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but we don't have to fear evil. He prepares a banqueting table in that place in the presence of our enemies, right? We talked about this. But that's not the place we're called to live our life. So I think sometimes we just get the sandpaper out and we just keep rubbing it on there when he's like, whoa, whoa. I'll do this work. Come, Holy Spirit. See, it's not about a formula. We try to make it a formula. It's about a relationship. A formula won't build a relationship. Hey, guys, we're pretty good at wanting to make formulas for our relationships, aren't we? Let's be honest. Well, if I do this, this, and this, then this. And then the next time you try it, you're like, what did I just miss? Do relationship. Do connection. Doesn't need to make sense. It needs to be a connection. So when we're connected with the heart of the Father, when we're walking in relationship with the Father, he's doing these things in our life. We heed the voice of the Holy Spirit. We respond and we walk into freedom. The final word we're looking at today is forgiveness. Christ came and he forgave. He forgave you already. He forgave the things, the transgressions. They hadn't even happened yet. You weren't even here yet when he came and paid that price. But some of us are still in jails, created by ourselves, because we haven't forgiven what he's already forgiven in our own lives. So I've been kind of jumping back and forth between saved, healed, and delivered, right? Sozo. And justification, sanctification, and forgiveness. So I'm tying forgiveness and deliverance together. I think two big things hold us back from deliverance in our life. One, I just watched the story of Israel. Grumbling and complaining often voided opportunities that the Lord had created for them. It caused extensions of time till they saw the promise. It shut things down where they stood. Some it was just for the people that were complaining. Other times, it grabbed a whole group and shut it down. Grumbling, complaining will keep you held in that jail cell. That can't have room. Listen, when we're in a small community, this isn't just me. Chris Regan came back, and he's a watcher. He just sat and watched, hanging out, balloon rally, different places he went out to eat, and he's watching and listening to the conversations. It's real easy to get caught up in just talking about people's life, to get caught up in what's happening over here, what's happening over there. And information is one thing, but when it moves from information to opinions about somebody or an opinion about somebody's, we need to be real careful that we're speaking life over those people. That we're, you know, the sowing and reaping principle, that's not just for money. That we're sowing good fruit there that we want returned and invested in our life. So when it's easy to judge a situation that we aren't around, be careful what we're saying about that. Speak life over it, because you're going to return that investment in your own life. So that's one thing that holds us from deliverance. The second is unforgiveness. The work at the cross was done for us. Matthew 18, the parable of the unforgiving servant. You have this man who owes a great debt to the king. The king calls him in, and he's calling him to account for that debt. He says, bring him in, him, his family, and all he owns, and sell it. Let's pay his debt off. From owing to slavery, not just slavery for yourself, but for your family and all that you have. And he cries out to the king. And the king hears his cry. And he wipes this debt away. Paid for. That's pretty exciting. Let me go celebrate by grabbing the next guy that he saw. You owe me $5. You're going to jail, kid. You can go back to that seat. That can be your jail. And he sees somebody that owes him a small amount, throws him in jail and says, stay there till you pay me back. Oh, you can't work? Sorry, you're stuck. I mean, how else are you going to pay somebody back? You have to work to get money, right? Some of his friends were concerned by what happened, and they went and spoke to the king. Can you imagine how the king felt? What? Wait a second. You're talking about Johnny, not Paul, right? Oh, you're talking about Paul? Wait. He did what? Get him in here. And he brought that man back who had been forgiven a great debt. And he threw him in a jail till he could pay him back. Remember, you got to work to pay him back. I don't think he had very much residual income happening, you know, where it was just making money while he was sitting. But that's not the point. The point is, we've been forgiven a great price. You know, sometimes we think the things others have done to us deserves a big price, right? Hey, we can be honest. Can we? But guess what? It was already paid. So why are you demanding payment? And I'm not talking about hurt. We walk through that as we forgive. But I'm talking about holding back forgiveness because somebody's wronged you. Well, they'll get this when they do this. When they return my $5 and give me the interest for the last 6 years and do 15 push-ups, I'll think about it. But this is what we do, right? Well, Aaron, thanks for being honest. But it is. It is. Aaron, that wasn't very nice, because I think a lot of us are being honest with this. We recognize how easy it is to demand a price. But see, here's the thing. When we demand payment, we lock ourselves back up in the same cell that we were released from. When we demand payment, we lock others up in a cell that holds them and keeps them tied up, and they don't even understand why. When we walk through forgiving others, we need to find a way, because what often happens is when we hold on forgiveness, we begin to pass the judgments, right? Come on. Yeah. And that's not what we've spoke over their life. And they're going, what the heck is going on? Why am I walking under this heaviness? Oh, because there's some great things being spoke over you right now. And we lock them up. So one of the things I encourage when we walk out forgiveness, we speak blessing over that person. We speak life over that person. We speak the promises of God over that person instead of the judgments. We know what they are. I'm not saying don't be truthful when you have conversations about what hurt you. I know conversations I've had with my kids where they've done something where I'm shaking my head and I'm trying to understand, and it's really easy to make them feel like the thing they just did is them. Like that's who you are. That is your nature. But my heart is to help them see that thing isn't who you are. This is who God says you are. This is who I believe. This is what I see from the heart of the Father. Dad in the heart of the Father. So as we're walking this path of forgiving, you know, it may just start in your room with a notebook and a couple names that you need to write down and say, I don't even want to think about it right now. This is painful. Start somewhere. Because starting somewhere says, I want out of this jail and I want them out of this jail. But write those names down and then begin to say, Lord, you paid the price for this already. Because he did. I'm going to trust that payment. I'm going to release them from the IOUs. You owe me for the $5. You owe me for the 6 years of interest. It's forgiven. And I'm going to bless you. I'm going to speak life. You may not be able to go to that person's face and say those things. That's okay. But you can speak them. Just like when you pray for somebody. Speak life over them. Bless them. We need to see the seed, the root of unforgiveness broken off our life. You know, I was reading, there's a gentleman who I'm following who's writing little blog posts each morning of his journey of faith. And part of the season of that was talking about the demoniac. They were actually seeing lots of deliverance in the early 60s, 70s, where people were being healed from oppression of the enemy. And they saw a lot of big demonstrative demon activity at some of these meetings where they were refusing to go. And they began to see a root at those. It was unforgiveness. People that refused to forgive. We're dealing with oppression. So as they begin to walk people through forgiveness, they quietly see their demeanor change, and the heaviness they walked into the room was gone. Guys, we have to walk in forgiveness. It was given to us. Why are we withholding it? I use the word we very intentionally there. Because this message is for all of us, isn't it? The power of the cross for each one of our life. Saved, healed, and delivered. Thank you, Lord, that I'm saved. Thank you, Lord, that I'm walking in wholeness. I'm walking towards wholeness. Come on. Lord, continue to deliver me. Hey, sometimes you think, yes, we've knocked this thing. We're going through, and it's like, what was that? We continue to grow, you guys. We continue to, freedom is a place that we continue to walk in new levels of. All right. Don't let unforgiveness hold you back from walking in the fullness of the cross. It will. It's like a pause or a reverse button. You won't go forward. You may stay stuck. You may go backwards. But the fruit of forgiveness changes that. We move forward. 1 Corinthians 1:8, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. There is power in the cross. We have access to that. Let's be a people that walk in that. Come on. Come on. Let's be a believer that walks in that. It's access. We have access to that. You know, I think we could take communion every day. There's mercy made new every day. Reminders, remembering what he's done and choosing to walk in the power of that, right? That's what communion is. Do this in remembrance of not Elijah, not Abraham. Do this in remembrance of me, Jesus. Do this in remembrance of me, of what I've done, what I continue to do in your life. Today, as we come and we take communion, we kind of have a lot to chew on, don't we? We're saying, have I been my own judge? Am I still making myself pay for what was already paid for? Am I making others pay for what was already paid for? Or am I allowing the payment to place me in right standing? We're saying, have I allowed the working of the Holy Spirit in my life? Am I willing to allow the working, the sanctification process, where I'm restored and being used as I was intended by the King? Finally, is there a situation where I need to extend forgiveness? As hard as it may feel or it may be, because Christ already extended that to me. Take time with those questions. We're just going to, if I don't care who it is, somebody want to just play quietly, do pads. It doesn't need to be real loud. Jason, we'll just have it real like backgroundish. Yeah, Corey, come here.
The other thing about forgiveness is sometimes we feel like, and I've done this before, so I'm guilty of this, but sometimes we feel like we have to tell the other person, you did this, 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 and this to me, and so now I extend forgiveness to you. And that's kind of patronizing, because maybe the other person's not ready for that. Maybe the other person, if they hear ABC, isn't going to receive it. So you can't go to somebody and be like, well, you did this, this, and this, and now I forgive you. Right? So the thing about forgiveness is it's very personal. Maybe the person's not even alive. You can't ever go tell them A, B, and C. You can't ever have that conversation. The forgiveness is so personal. The forgiveness is something that you extend, whether the person's there in front of you or not, but it's you releasing that thing and saying, I forgive this person and God, I bless them with your love and your kindness and your gentleness in their life, whatever you want to bless them with. Speak those things in prayer to the Lord and see what God does. But the thing about forgiveness is not about the other person.
So you might want to take some time at your seat and work through some things, or you may just decide to come get the juice and the cracker representing his body and blood broken and poured out for us, and just take some time. Say, Lord, what are you speaking in this today? Listen, the message of the cross, that's for everybody. He sent his son for the world. Not just one, he would have, but it was for each and every one here. So Lord, what are you saying today in this message? Make this real, make this alive for me. Communion, something that's done, it says, when we're in relationship and with Christ, so we've made a commitment to relationship with Jesus Christ. We've asked him to come into our heart. We've asked him to forgive us of our sins. Then we take communion in remembrance of that. Maybe somebody here today has not said, Lord, be Lord of my life. Be in charge. I want a relationship with you. I want to give up my old identity and those things that have defined me. Give those over to you. I'm going to be right over here. Come see me. That'd be awesome. Otherwise, come and take the cracker and the juice. See what he's speaking in this moment. Respond to that. Come to him with a clean heart. Amen. Thank you. Yeah.
I like word pictures, and it's just hadn't let me go. It's might even sound like kind of a silly analogy, but it's like you have something big, and how do you get out of the story? You put a page sticker. Paid sticker, the red paid sticker, and you can go out of the store. And maybe that might mean something. It means something to me, maybe it means something else, something to some of you, that where we've talked about, like Corey just shared, you know, that's it's maybe not something you're going to be able to go to somebody with, but at least figuratively, you know, in your mind's eye, if that gives like a picture of an action you can take. You know, take a paid sticker and say, I'm going to apply that on that person, on that thing, on that maybe a piece of paper that they did something, or the think of an object that this is, they did this to me, or I'm holding this, put a paid sticker on it and just, okay, they can get out of the store now. They're not going to go back. You don't have to make them come back. You don't have to go back to the registry. You got the thing on there. They've got the thing on there.
That's good. That's good. Come on. So this is personal time. Spend some time right at your seat. Get up here. Bring the elements to a spot. We're not rushing through.